And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast.
That's how we get the podcast.
Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast.
You all trying to hip-hop
Big
on
D
us.
Big D and Bubba podcast.
They're a little Chase Rice there, didn't they?
I said a little hip-hop, a hippity-hop, whoop-whoop. So here we go. This podcast sponsored by Realtor.com. It's the most accurate home search site on planet Earth easily. And be sure to work with a realtor to help you through the entire process of looking for a new home. Realtor.com and realtors together, we make homes happen.
You know who's a realtor that we all know?
Who?
Jim Hogg.
Jim Hogg? I didn't know Jim became a realtor.
He did.
Jim used to do our, he did a version of our jingles back in the day. If you ever hear the bluegrass versions, the little Big Damn Bubba. That's him.
Yeah.
He was also a sales guy in radio.
Yep. He'll make a killing.
We have a very cool thing coming up at the end of the podcast. We're going to have Ashley Gourley, who came and hung out with us this week. Ashley is an amazing songwriter, has a gazillion songs, and gazillion is actually a number that have been recorded by everybody, 17 number ones and all that. So part of our songwriter spotlight we'll do at the end of the podcast with Ashley. So whenever we're done, we'll wrap up and go right into that.
So what are you doing? What's your plans for Valentine's? I have a hard time remembering what...
I told you. I mean, we're just kind of keeping it easy. We're going out to see a show. We're going to go see a little live music, and then I got the
like
roses and the roses and everything going to her, and you know, basic minor stuff, not really a whole lot. I've got her a little charm bracelet pendant thing. Like, I always get her little charms because she loves that stuff.
You just add on to it every year?
Yeah.
Yeah, I started to get down that road, man. I got off of it. I don't remember why. I wish I wouldn't have. It's a built-in gift.
Yeah.
What do I get? Well, I just get another little thing to add to her thing.
But the thing is, you can't do it every single time. Like, if you do it for Valentine's Day, you should probably do it maybe for Christmas as an additional, or maybe throw it in for a birthday, or maybe a little Mother's Day thing. Because if you do it every single time, you become too predictable, and she's like, it's like the old joke of, what are you getting Dad for, you know, the holidays or his birthday? Oh, I'm going to get him a toy. You know,
plus
it's
all
the same stuff.
All those pendants hanging off of her. She looked like a homeless woman collecting all of her wares on the streets.
I'm going to buy her some hubcaps.
I'm just going to get her a... Why don't you just, might as well just get her a, you know, a shopping cart that she can just walk around town pushing her shopping cart around.
Hey, Patrick, what's up?
Hey, that's Bubba's wife. Hey, Stacy.
Leave me alone.
Get in the basket or get away.
Have you seen my cats?
Anyway. What are you going to do for Valentine's Day, Patrick?
Well, nothing.
Cool.
I was supposed to have a date this week and then she canceled on me the day before.
That's actually good, because that's the worst time to start dating someone is right before Valentine's Day. Because what happens is you go out and you have a nice night, and then you know, you want to follow it up. So you go, well, Valentine's is a natural. And then, like, you have to do something for Valentine's then. So it's really, you're probably best giving it a couple days until after Valentine's.
Do you feel that she did that on purpose like that?
No.
What'd you fall for? What'd she say?
She said that she had been seeing someone else, and then it got more serious, so she needed to cancel because she didn't want to go on a date with someone else, being me. So I was like, okay. Well, there you go.
Sucky thing.
What a sucky thing. But at the same time, you know how many women in the past have gone on that date with me anyway just because they know they'll get a free dinner out of it? So,
and some chocolates.
At least there's that, yeah.
Yeah, I just heard something beep. I don't know if you need
that. It sounded like the doorbell, but it wasn't loud like the doorbell usually is.
That really, I hate that because...
The doorbell?
No.
Oh.
I hate the fact that it's... Because the deal is he had to compete against someone else.
Yeah.
And he lost. He had to compete against former guy or it doesn't even
other
matter.
Guy, yeah.
Another guy.
Yeah.
It's like it's like a gladiator fight.
And
you went into the arena and he slayed you.
And he was there before me based on the, you know, I never really got my shot. So who knows? Maybe if I had gotten
and
there a week earlier.
Already at the point of excuses.
What? I'm saying if I got there a week earlier, maybe ought to, you know, maybe it'd have been her sending him the message saying, hey.
And we, if Bubba and I were single, we would say, well, it doesn't matter if you were there before, during, or after. I'm still going
to win. I'm better.
I'm better. And so what are you talking about?
Yeah. So
I'm not going to do that.
Cassie just sent a picture of a Subway sign and on it, like on the little marquee. You know, you have the little letters you put up and they spell whatever their special is. It says, Subway, satisfy your Valentine with a foot long.
I saw that.
Wow.
That's great.
Of course I saw that. Dude, we see everything.
Give her a third of the sandwich.
We get to the point. Jeez. Remember those minis they used to sell? That's about what I got you girl in, baby.
Jeez, man. Well, you're saying a little too much.
I just thought about how confident I was.
Frick.
Confidence has nothing to do with any of that.
No, it really doesn't.
What?
It
confidence
doesn't.
Has nothing to do with what?
With any of that. With sandwiches.
Oh.
No, it doesn't. Confidence.
I thought you were saying it with dating. Confidence has everything to do with dating.
And confidence
it really does.
Confidence has everything to do in really more dating and relationships once you get in there. But it's just, I don't know, man. I think you need to take some sort of self-defense class or some kind of I don't know, something to give you some more confidence. Well, I don't understand why you don't have confidence. You're funny.
I have confidence. I just don't have confidence in that. Like you've seen me in a business setting. I'm totally confident.
I've seen you when women are here. Like attractive woman, the heels, the stiletto, the thing, the dress.
I'm not seeing on the couch.
Do you remember when he said that?
Do we have that on?
No.
Hold on. It might be in the gold, which if anybody has listened to all the podcasts here, they know. What the gold is. The gold is.
Gotta be
it's
in
not
gold.
In the gold. It's
How
not.
Is that not getting gold? Because you don't want it in the gold.
Because I didn't put it
you
in,
moved
and I put
it.
Most of those
you
in.
Moved
no,
it.
You never put it in there.
You deleted it on purpose.
God, I hope
it
I did.
It used to be in the gold.
It was never in the gold.
I think
Karen
it was.
Paranoid psychopath.
Oh,
no.
You're
was.
A psychopath. Psychopath.
It was never in the gold.
It was. I remember it being
was.
There.
No, it
I remember playing it, and you're going, have a seat
on
the couch.
You're playing it because it was on the video.
No.
It was on the YouTube video. It was never in the gold. That predates gold.
Here's the deal. I forget who's in here. Who are the old studios? Just,
yeah.
You're
the
showing them around.
The girl that I used to have a crush on, and I all of a sudden I couldn't talk.
he's so
you know,
showed,
it's my fault.
He showed him around, and I'm videoing it. And so kind of the pre – or no, you were videoing it, kind of guess.
Well, I don't remember.
And so
what artist was it? I'll find the YouTube video.
And he's like –
I really don't remember.
I don't remember either. I just – because the one you're talking about, she was
have seen on the couch.
She was the like the handler or the person from the record label. And so poor Patrick, you know, he's showing him around. It's like, okay, we'll just come
all
on
of a sudden, he went into this new mode that none of us had ever seen before.
It really was a new era. you became – flipping Jed right. Clampett.
Yeah.
He said, well, you just guys just come on in here. Have have a seat on the couch.
On the couch. Have a seat on the couch. But it was like a very demure, have a seat on the couch.
It's like you're trying to stop
it. I want you to know every time you're doing it, you're changing it. You're making it different
like,
every
it's
time.
It's like you knew you were saying couch, but you couldn't. You're trying to stop couch. It, so you drop your voice. Someday.
Well, it's
you're
like
hey, have a seat on the couch.
Well, we talked
it's
about
it's one this. Of those things where you know when you're doing it that it's bad.
Well,
but
we
you
talked
just
about
can't
that.
Stop it.
The other day on the show, we talked about how whenever you're in the middle of a sentence and you're talking to somebody. And all of a sudden you mispronounce a word, you say like, and have a seat on the cat, and all of a sudden you just go into it. Mm-hmm. Have a seat on the cat. Your brain is brilliant that way. Have a seat on the couch. Would you like some tea? Yeah. You make
and
it
you
trying to
going,
sound like you're like you're doing it on purpose, but you're really just an idiot and you can't pronounce words.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is why I can't get a date, or at least a second date. This is what happens.
I think there are thousands, if not millions, of men who have that issue, and women too. It's probably even worse on the other side, who have a thing about the opposite sex, and they're kind of weird, and they get it. It goes way back to your childhood, man. I don't know what happened. You got abused, or,
I
don't know, made fun of.
Yeah,
or whatever
girls were not nice to me when I was a kid. When I was, you know, from age 5 to about I don't know now. So.
It Do you just, remember any of the stuff
oh,
that they said?
Oh, yeah. Oh, like, I don't know if I really want to get into that.
No, I want to hear it.
No, because it's
lay
sad.
Down.
It'll sound sad. I don't want to sound sad.
Lay down, pull the
this
microphone
is supposed
down.
To be happy. you know, but it was bad stuff. I mean, I remember some of my earliest memories being 5, 6 years old, where having, you know, one of the prettier older girls, older being like, you know, seven. Yeah. come up and start flirting with me on the playground to get me to, and asking if I liked her, to get me to say it so that all the kids who were standing, you know, around the corner that I didn't see could all come out and laugh and make fun of me.
Dude,
that never happened.
Oh, yes, that happened.
She fake flirted to get you to look like an idiot?
Oh, yes. Dude. That happened to me more than once.
That's it.
Then it was when the girl, when I was, I couldn't have been more than five. It was 5 years old. I was in kindergarten. The one girl came up and put her arm around my shoulder and said, come here, I want to ask you a question. And then when she distracted me, one of the other kids came up behind me and pulled my pants down. So, and a big group of kids standing off in the distance, all waiting for it to laugh. So, yeah, I have trust issues with women.
Dude, we're going to have to do that to them later.
Do you think that's funny?
Yeah, bring that on.
Is that funny to you? You're laughing about it.
No, I'm not. I don't think it's funny. I think it's horrible, but it's funny. It's a little bit funny now because it was, you know, 30 years ago.
We used to do that in gym class.
Bubba was one of those people.
No, my pants have been dropped to the floor, too, and it was they took my underwear halfway down as well. But you know what? I think of it as just dumb, stupid kids out there. I mean, we do stuff like that to each other.
You need therapy, dude.
Probably. Probably.
You do. It's really deep-rooted in you. And you need someone who... We can't do it. Bubba can't do it. He's not the guy.
He
was part of the problem.
Thanks.
You look at him...
I mean, look, Bubba and I didn't know each other when we were kids, but he was one of the kids that would have picked on me. Yeah, and so were you.
I didn't
you
pick on other kids. I never picked on other kids.
That inclination.
That is not true.
I never picked on other kids. I was never a bully or anything like that. You can go back to any of my friends. I never was. I was the cool kid who just got along with everybody.
I don't know. It doesn't. It's one of those things people go, oh, man, it doesn't really bug me. It doesn't really manifest itself in my personality, except when it comes to dealing with, you know.
Yeah, go ahead.
Dealing with girls. I don't deal with women well.
I would tell you that it's in your everyday life and it's in everything. It is. Everything that you've done in the past or that's been done to you is in your personality. And it comes out every day. It's in every decision you make. It's in every decision you decide not to do.
I don't think it's that.
I'm going to call this girl.
I don't think it's that.
I'm not going to call her.
she might tell me no.
What if she says no? And then all of a sudden you go back to that playground where that girl is sitting there and you see all those kids around the corner laughing and you realize that she just used you for that.
See, this is depressing. This is why I didn't want to bring it up.
No, it's not depressing. Maybe there's somebody listening who's like, yeah, you know, I was there with him. I get that.
Yeah.
Or maybe there was somebody there who was actually on the playground and they're listening to this and they're like, you know, I laughed. And maybe you'll get a call later from someone going, hey, I'm sorry.
And you can scratch them off of your people to kill list.
I'm
probably the only person in that whole group of kids that remembers that. Even, I mean, that
of course.
Six situation's not significant to anyone else.
No. That's right. You were just a kid to make fun of and move on to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's made me who I am, I think, more good than bad. It just, like I said, I think it only really manifests itself. I wish we could track those people down
and call them on the air.
Hang on. My heater people are calling. Hang on. Y'all keep talking.
I think that would be so great to call and confront them.
I wish I could tell you their names. I really can't even tell you most of those kids' names. I don't remember, you know? So.
Yeah.
You know, again, I don't think it negatively affects me. I think it's made me who I am for more better than worse. Yeah. It's given me humor as a defense mechanism is my, you know,
as with most fat guys.
Yeah.
That's mine.
You know.
Humor is my thing, too. I got it.
All right.
But I was different than you because I was, you know, I was more athletic than you. I still am, by the way.
Yeah. Good for you.
And
so, nice for you to throw that in there like that.
My T count
I'm still better
is very
than you.
High.
And, yes.
No, I'm just saying I went through a lot of the same thing you did where girls would come up to you and go, are you a boy or a girl? Because you have boobies.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And then they laugh.
Man boobs is such a hard thing to deal with. It's a hard thing to deal with as an adult.
I notice I kind of am starting to get them. I need to start doing push-ups,
it
bro.
It is really hard to deal with when you're 10.
No, don't.
When you're 11.
If you think push-ups are going to get rid of your man boobs, all they're going to do is make them bigger.
Yep.
Because what you're missing, all you're doing is adding muscle underneath the fat.
The man boob.
And it just makes them bigger. You've got to lose the fat.
Remember when you were a kid, they tell you to do butterflies, diet. That'll fix it?
No, that'll make them bigger.
Oh, God.
If you do flies, they'll make them way bigger.
Yeah.
That hits that whole, that's where you get that line down the center of the chest. Anyway. So, yeah. Well,
I thought
right.
about having that knocked off. I really have. What?
Like you were going to go have a reduction?
He's laughing because when I said it, I jiggled one of my man boobs and he saw it.
He actually cupped himself.
I actually jiggled it.
He grabbed it like you would grab a sandwich. Like you're gonna, it's this kind of thing, like a C clamp. He grabbed it like a C clamp and then grabbed and then just went up and down. Blah 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 blah.
Yeah,
and I got to see that.
Yeah, you did.
That's cool. So
I'm
like,
sorry I missed it.
You want to get they can get that.
I don't know.
Care.
We have our friend who's a plastic surgeon, Dr. Martin. He's talked about it. I'm like, you know what?
He talked to you about you getting it done.
No, but I mean, he's talked about it to people on the show, and I mean, I thought, why not?
We need to have him back in. He
Save
was
some
a
money,
fantastic
go in there
guest.
And do that.
We can have him in here, and he can actually assess you.
How much? You know how much it is?
I don't know. No idea. Probably 5, 6, 7 grand, something like that.
Really?
We could have a man boob bake. A boob bake.
I could
bake.
Get a GoFundMe page for my man boobs. We might raise $7-8.
I don't think people would give it to that. They'll be like, once you lose weight, dude, we'll just do that. Once you do it the hard way.
The more weight I lose, the worse it is. Because my stomach will go away and the man boobs stay. And they're not there to count to like
just
counterbalance.
Just get a
other.
Breast reduction. What?
Don't say it like we don't say breast reduction.
What do you call it?
What is it?
It's a man boobectomy. I don't know, but it's not a breast reduction.
A boob reduction? Because it's your man boob.
Well,
it's not.
Let's still get caught up on the
terminology.
The terms here.
It is
what it is.
Not the same thing.
That's so funny. It's just so great how you just get so comfortable and you just say something like that. You know what? I'm thinking about just getting them knocked off.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Why not?
All right. Do you talk about that at when you go on dates
God,
and stuff?
No.
What do you talk about in your dates? I noticed you have breasts like me.
Actually, mine may be bigger.
We have a lot in common.
Yeah. I can't imagine where my lack of self-esteem comes from. It certainly has nothing to do with sitting in here with you.
What are you,
you
doing tonight? After dinner, let's go
four,
to Victoria's Secret and pick out
day.
Some matching bras.
Yeah. No, you're right. I can't imagine where all of my issues come from. Being tortured by you two for the last 15 years.
Oh, we love you, man. Yeah. I'd do anything for you.
You know he would.
I was thinking about this the other day. There are very few people that I know that could call me at 2 a.m, wake me up and say, hey, I'm fill in the blank and I need help. And I wouldn't go help them. Or I would go help them. There's very few.
Oh, yeah. It's like the two of you and maybe 3 or 4 other people, not counting my own brothers.
Yeah, you family know? Excluded. It would be you guys. Two others. And that's it.
Yeah.
Bubba would never hear the phone ring.
I was trying to think of my list. I'm going, well, family out. Yeah, you guys. But now I'd sleep through the whole thing.
That's a whole different verse to find out who your friends are right there. It's like,
yeah.
Call him up in the middle of the night, but he didn't answer the phone because he was sleeping like a rock.
The only thing that wakes me up in the middle of the night is me snoring. That's it.
Man, when
you
we're flying.
You wake yourself up snoring.
Dude, he does it all. When we're flying, he'll be in the right seat. And, you know, it's just an autopilot, man. It's just. I mean, there's really not much to do but listen to the air traffic
when we're
controls.
Flying ourselves it's a whole lot of boredom once you're up there
and so you just kind of cruise along and he will I'll he won't even tell me he's gonna go sleep. He'll just go to sleep and his head will be over the side and his mouth is all open and I'm taking flies there. Pictures of course I'm done taking pictures. I'm bored with that of him going And then whatever conversation we had 10 minutes before, he'll go, but yeah, I think.
Pick right up where we were.
So I didn't. He's trying to fool me, and I'm like, dude, you're asleep.
I've done it. I can't judge much.
Is Frankie playing baseball, or has he decided not to?
No, we're not going to have him play this this spring, which kind of bums me out. I mean, because, you know, again, going back to that confidence thing, he's not one of the worst kids on the team. He's not the best. He's good and solid middle, you know, of the pack, which is a great place to be when you're a kid. You know, you're not being singled out for being worst or best. So I was really excited about that. But we have so much going on with our German daughter. You know, we have an exchange student with us this year, and she leaves at the end of May. So it was kind of like every weekend is going to be dedicated to, if I'm not working and doing stuff for the show, promotional things, if I'm home, then we're going to be going off doing different sightseeing things, trying to cram in as much America and as much experience for her as possible. So none of my kids are doing anything this spring. Nothing.
Well, that kind of stinks, man.
It kind of does.
Yeah, and except they get to travel around and
do all the
same. For America, too. That's
I know,
cool.
But it's not about them. You have to understand something with kids. Everything, and I've picked up on this, they get a little jealous that everything's about her sometimes.
Well, kind of should get jealous of about that.
So we have to, whenever we do different trips to whatever states or cities we go to, everything has to be very, you know, hey, we're doing this for you guys. It's awesome. And she gets to experience it along with you.
Yeah.
So it's all in how you present it, you know, whether or not they react positively or negatively to it. But yeah, it's weird, man. That's one of the one things that I noticed. You bring another person into your house for an entire year and the entire dynamic changes. It's been a very trying year at some times and a very awesome year.
Are y'all going to do it again?
Yeah, I think so. But I think we're going to take a year off at least to kind of, you know, I guess just really saturate our kids with us and them. And then if we decide to do it again, it'll be completely up to the kids. It was really fun. I'll say this to anybody who's thinking about maybe getting an exchange student. Really fun. We've had so much, so many different experiences that we wouldn't have gotten, and we've learned so much about her culture and our culture and the differences between them. And it's definitely worth it. But again, if you've got little kids, it's a little harder because they don't quite understand why that one person gets a lot of the attention.
Yeah. Do they? Does she ever say anything to you about your guns and the fact that you have guns?
No. In the very beginning part of everything, she was a little shocked. She had the conversation of, you know, if we had guns in the house. And I was like, yes, we have lots of guns in the house. And she's like, really? And I was like, yeah. So one night I said, look, next time I clean everything, I'll bring it out and, you know, you can see how it all works. And so, I mean, the thing is they can't handle, as part of the rules of their program, they can't handle a firearm, anything like that. They can't drive a car, that kind of stuff. So she watched and asked a bunch of questions about, you know, because when you take it apart, you disassemble it and you're cleaning it. She's like, what does that do? You know, that kind of stuff. And, you know, you just
can explain it. Patrick, can Germans have guns?
Nope.
Over that part of the world?
You can get like a hunting license, which is not easy to get. And if you do, you can get a rifle or a shotgun for hunting, but it's very limited ammunition. And like you're not buying it to go to shoot targets with. You're buying
it like we do.
You know. And really, the number of hunters and the number of people who are able to become hunters, it takes a lot of money and it takes a lot of time and classes and other things, restrictions to become one. It's a very restricted culture.
Yeah.
But
I think that stems from their past. You know, 70 years ago.
I mean, we didn't let them have guns. We were in charge of the government setting up the government in West Germany for the longest time, for, you know, after World War II, and we did not let them have guns.
And you know the Russians didn't the let Russians the eastern side
absolutely
have any.
Didn't let the eastern side have guns. So they didn't have that, they weren't allowed to have it, and it just kind of grandfathered in. Same thing in Japan, you know, it's a very similar thing. So
it, you know, here's an interesting thing is one day we were going through a really bad neighborhood, not here in town, but we were on vacation, and she goes, "Oh, I'm glad you have your gun." And I kind of had a little laugh on the inside. I'm like, wow, that's a complete cultural shift for her, I'm sure. Yeah. You know, to think that she's glad that we were protected by a gun in the vehicle.
Yeah.
I remember when we let Dominic shoot a gun. When he was living with us, he wasn't allowed to. He wasn't allowed to even touch a firearm. You know, it's like driving,
Dominic,
you know,
was your exchange student whenever you were in high school.
When I was in high school. But then 2-3 years ago now, his parents came over with him, and then we all went on a road trip, and we spent some time with my family and everything, and we went out shooting, and Dominic had never held a gun in his hands. He's 33, 34 years old at that time, and it was great. It was great. It was like taking a little kid, except the little kid is, you know, 6'3" with a PhD in chemistry. So,
how's he feeling?
Dominic had a perforated intestine and on New Year's night, and he was in the hospital until yesterday.
Oh, wow.
He was in the hospital 40 days?
40 some odd days, yeah.
So 30 of that in ICU, more than 20 days he was just unconscious, like not in a coma, but basically sedated all the time. So, yeah, it was bad.
So, what I think he's going to be okay?
He's going to be okay. Now he has to, now he's in a rehab facility for the next 3 weeks where he's just going to exercise and rehab and learn how to, I mean, basically get his strength back. He lost 30 pounds, you know, and most of it's muscle, you know, and you have to relearn how to walk and how to climb stairs and all that kind of stuff.
Isn't that crazy? This doesn't take long, does it?
No. I mean, 3 weeks in under sedation after, like, a bunch of stuff like that, the 50 days, 45 days in a hospital bed, that'll mess you up bad.
Well, yeah, because you're not moving. You're not even sitting up. You're not standing. You're not doing anything.
I mean, if he were elderly or if he were young, you know, he'd be dead. If he was a skinny, frail person, he'd be dead, you know. He wouldn't have survived this. He was in incredibly good shape and really healthy and everything. So, I mean,
how did he have a perforated?
They still don't know what caused it.
Is it intestine, you said?
Yeah. Basically, they think he had a really, really bad ulcer that was so bad that it finally got to the point that it just ruptured. But it'd be miraculous for that to happen because he never knew he had. Like, you'd know if you had an ulcer bad, so bad it was about to burst. You would be in severe pain, but he didn't know. He never complained about having stomach pains or anything. So, yeah.
Wow. Man, oh, man.
Yeah, that's bad stuff.
Makes you want to just go work out, doesn't it?
Makes me want to eat less junk. It really does. So.
Yeah, I'm finally getting back. This week I got back into the gym some.
I saw you you tweeted, what's his name? Big muscle dude.
Oh, yeah.
Jim Stepani?
No, oh, no, no, no. Your bud. The guy you used to work out with.
Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny.
Johnny, yeah.
I saw you tweeted him.
He tweeted me, and I just replied.
Oh. Oh, did he get you back in? Is that what it was?
No. It's just, I hate it. Every time I go, like, it seems like I pull up into the parking lot, and I see his little red car. I'm like, dang it. Like, I want to see him. I like him. But you can't get in there and do it halfway. You got to be...
Yeah, because he's a competitive bodybuilder.
And so you feel like this... Like
trying to keep
your
up.
Your coach is in there. You know, it's pressure. And I was like, God, well, she just wasn't there while I'm working out. Thankfully, he got in there. He's like, man, I haven't seen you in a while. I'm like, you know, I had a vasectomy. What? Why? Well, because I don't want to have any more kids, dummy.
Why?
Oh, that's why I don't want any more kids. Well, don't they cut you on your testicles? Yes, they do, Johnny. They do. Oh, what then? What happened? And I had to go through the story, and he left, and he was just like, I gotta go, man. And that's when he sent me the tweet, and he's like, hey, man, you know, good to see you today. Best of luck. Glad to have you back.
Sorry about your boys.
But, yeah, I'm getting back into it finally, slowly. It took me a long time, man.
So I went to an event. I wasn't going to bring this up, but the podcast seems like a good enough place to do it. Speaking of being fat, I went to an event. It was an album release party that Will Hoag was doing. It was an album release. And I sit down. There's a bunch of people. There's like 70 people there. And I sit down in the front, okay, not thinking anything of it. I sit down in the front row because the second row of tables and the tables off the side, they were already taken. Somebody was already sitting in them. So, okay, I don't care. I'll sit in the front. Yeah, except they get one song into this, and then the host comes out, and you go, why is there a host? This is weird. And she goes, now, we're live on the internet streaming this. And I go, oh, no, where's the camera? And it was right behind me, and I look like a hippopotamus.
Do you have a picture of it?
He looks like a hippopotamus in a red shirt.
This is a screenshot from the YouTube video. I actually pulled it up on my phone.
So
you can see. So look at the normal size man at next the table to next to us. Now he's further away from the camera than me, but it doesn't really look like it. It just looks like I look.
You don't look
huge.
That
I look huge. Look at it again.
I won't lie with it. It's a horrible picture. The angle is terrible for you.
It's fine.
Looks like the three people on stage. You could like put them all together, and they wouldn't be as big as.
Listen, you're always going to be larger. You're going to be bigger than everyone.
Yeah, but that's just that kind of stuff makes you go. I don't want to go out of public.
I had to get through this. I'm going to be big. Okay, I'm always going to be big. I got it done. But you don't have to be. You don't have to be sloppy fat guy. Okay, you can just be the big dude who's just, I hate to say big bone, but kind of, you're kind of the big bone guy. And so you're always going to be, you're always going to carry extra weight. You're probably always going to, I don't want to say always, I hate to do that but to you, but you more than I will probably always have a belly. I'm always going to be big. And so when you see, I don't see myself that way. You don't see yourself that way. You see yourself as his size or, you know what I mean?
But see yourself on camera.
And then you
go,
see it and you're like, oh my gosh, who is that?
Yeah.
What happened?
Who put a shirt on a gorilla and let him in this thing?
Listen, it was a big deal for me. Like, I would see shots of my bald spot, and I'll be like, oh my God, I have a giant bald spot. Why did you not tell me? People are like, what? Are you kidding me?
How do you not know?
It's always been there. It's not a big deal. It's a big deal to you.
Because you never see it.
I don't see it. It's like when they cut my hair, they show me the mirror. I'm like,
I know I'm big, but when you put me on camera in front of a room of people, it's bad. Well, it's bad.
You know what? You're doing something about it, though.
Yeah.
It's not like you're stuck this way. You can change it, and you are changing it. You're doing a great job.
Look at you. You should be a motivational speaker.
You are, though. You know? You want to change
pounds
it?
Gone.
You've had a huge amount of weight loss. You have an incredible success, and you're changing every day. I saw you yesterday. You did this or whatever, and your man boobs were thinner. You were. I saw the whole silhouette, and I was like, look at him.
He's surgery needed.
I don't think you need to get the man boobectomy. I think you're just going to lose the weight. You're going to be fine. And then you're going to work out. You're going to lift. And fine.
And not sit in front of the camera. That's the real thing.
Stay away from cameras.
Stay away from that shot.
Where are the cameras
Make
at?
Make sure you're not that guy.
You know what? You could take a gun with you, and you go inside, you see the cameras, and you go, poof, and you knock the cameras
out. That would have
out.
Gone over great in that party. That would have been great. People running and screaming. What happened? The fat guy shot the camera. It would have been awesome.
Fox News, in a bizarre story.
And then you'd be labeled a terrorist, though, because you're a white guy.
Yeah, and then it'd be called morbid obese terrorism is what it is. They'd have a thing on it.
I like it.
Shepard Smith would be talking about you and that big giant screen that they have on the sets. And you can see right here when watches his body recoils after he fires a weapon. You can actually hear, we slowed down the audio, no cameras.
I'm playing basketball with Frankie, my son, and he makes fun of my jiggle now. He's like, Dad, you need looser shirts. Like, thanks, son.
Dang, man. You better get that boy in line. Don't you ever talk to me like that again, son. And you shoot the basketball.
Do you want to play basketball?
Boom!
But you know what? The truth only hurts.
I can't imagine
when it
why
should.
The Germans think we're all gun nuts. I don't know where they get it.
The Americans are all fat and have firearms
everywhere. The guns.
Don't make a fat joke.
Oh, God.
And then he shot the basketball.
It is amazing. The dangerous people. Anyway, you got anything else?
I think we're done.
We have songwriter spotlight, man.
Oh, good one, too.
Exciting.
Yeah, before we do, let me get the realtor little thing out here. Just so you know, the podcast is sponsored by Realtor.com. And Realtor.com is the most accurate home search site. And be sure to work with a real-life realtor to help you through the process. Realtor.com and realtors. Together, we make homes happen.
Hey, it's our songwriter spotlight. Today, it's joining us is Ashley Gorley. Mm-hmm. Ashley's a dude.
Not just a dude. He's a dude's dude.
We should have said, hey, thanks for coming in, girl. And then you have a really deep voice, and people are like, whatever. thanks for coming in, man. And by the way, congratulations. I understand you are the grand poobah of songwriters, the songwriter of the year.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, that's huge. Is that the biggest kind of recognition you've...
I was ASCAP Writer of the Year about 4 or 5 years ago in, I think, 2009, and then this year, and Billboard Writer of the Year last year. So that's about as good as it gets for us.
So this is the third time you've been a Songwriter of the Year.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably getting kind of old now that we...
No. Never gets old.
Shouldn't have brought it up, I guess.
Trying to get all I can before they figure out that I don't know what I'm doing.
Is this number right? 17 number ones?
It is right, yes.
Wow. What's your favorite of your number ones?
Ooh.
Like, which
I
one
like
would...
them all. You know, they're like kids. You like them all. You know, I wrote one called You're Gonna Miss This back about 5 or 6 years ago that is really personal because it's for my kids. They always claim it. If it comes on, you know, then they know that's their song and it came from something that was really happening in my house. So that's probably more personal and did a lot for me that year.
Yeah, that's one of those songs you kind of sit there and just kind of go, God. Can we hear a little bit of that actually?
Yeah, I'll give you a little bit of that.
She was staring out the window of that SUV, complaining, saying I can't wait to turn 18. Said I'll make my own money and I'll make my own rules. Mama put the car in park out there in front of the school. And she kissed her head and said I was just like you. You're gonna miss this. You're gonna want this back. You're gonna wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times, so take a good look around. You may not know it now, but you're gonna miss this.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
You know, I've noticed like there's this big crackdown right now on iTunes and all, where they're getting rid of all the, if you liked Trace Adkins, you'll love this version of You're Gonna Miss This by Brace Fadkins or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, you got to be careful downloading those.
Yeah,
you have the karaoke dance remix in a minute.
Yeah, these soundalikes. So on their versions, obviously the artist doesn't get paid for it, but do you still get paid?
We do, yes. I mean, you know, those aren't selling very much, but they have something called a compulsory license where as long as someone has recorded and released it, then, you know, your cousin in West Virginia or whoever, your mom or whoever wants to do a version of it, then they can totally do that and release it once it's already been commercially released. So it's kind of tricky.
Isn't that crazy?
It can bite you, but for the most part, those usually on songs that are already hits. So, you know.
Doesn't really.
Yeah, it doesn't affect us too much, but it is interesting. You'll look up a song and see like a picker's, it'll be an instrumental and you don't know. You got to pay attention to make sure it's the right one that you're downloading.
Yeah, I've done that. I've downloaded the wrong one several times.
I always get the wrong like language and I'm like, what? How did I do that? So I see you've got 17 number one songs. Singles,
yes.
One singles.
You've written for everybody. I mean, it's like a who's who of country music.
I've tried, yeah. It's we've been really blessed to be able to work with all those artists. It's been really cool.
You got the Luke Bryan song, the
I See You.
Yeah, yeah. That's number one this week actually. So that's good. There's a cool story. That's his sixth single off this album, and it was almost the first single. which ended up being Crash My Party, which I wrote, which is fine. That's great. But there, but just,
oh, wow. I love that. Luke, little shade.
Luke, yeah, like Luke is the only one, only guy that could put out, you know, six singles, and you'd be, oh, I'm excited about the sixth single. Usually that would be a joke. Like, hey, hey, your song may come out as a sixth single if we get that far. And you're like, whatever, that's gone.
That'll
that's
never
a, that's
happen.
In the black hole. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, or even past the second or third usually. But he's doing so well. And this is the first, you know, one of his singles that we actually wrote together, so it's been a really cool thing. He called the other day saying it was going number one. We had a little over the phone celebration about it. So
oh,
it's just cool.
Cool
for a song to be, you know, a couple years old and actually kind of stand that test of time. By then, usually so many people change their minds or they're ready to move on.
So y'all wrote this together?
Yeah, me and Luke and Luke Laird wrote this a couple years ago.
It was like a Luke sandwich.
Yeah, Luke with me in the middle there was great. But yeah, it was really cool, and just the process of hoping it would be a single, hoping it would be a single, and then thinking, ah, there's probably no chance, and then him saying, hey, I'm actually doing a sixth single. It's going to be this. Was a cool thing. So,
can we hear a little bit of it?
Yeah, it was.
It's a weird. I love hearing songwriters' versions of it because I'm so used to the artist's version of it.
Well, yeah, these are interesting. I mean, that song's based a lot around, you know, when I write with Luke Laird, a lot of times he'll have an electric going or a big, huge drum thing going and be rocking out. So to strip it back is real interesting sometimes. You know, even when we wrote that one, we wrote it pretty quick.
So was it rocking in the beginning, or was it done like acoustic?
No, that one was rocking in the beginning. So this will be the first acoustic broken down version of
cool.
this, if I could even do
no,
it.
No pressure.
Yeah, but it's it would sound better if there's some going. You know, doing all that stuff. But anyway.
Well, Luke's in the green room. Should we bring him in to do
yeah,
that?
Yeah, bring him on in. But it was like... rolling the bar, me and my crew, their little plan to get me over you. They hooked me up, yeah, buying me drinks with 1,000 girls. There's just one thing, I can't go anywhere, I can't do anything. No, I can't close my eyes without you in my dreams. You won't leave me alone, even though I know you're gone. I look around for someone new, but I see you jumping up there with the band, taking me by the hand. Hey boy, come dance with me. Stuck like a melody in my head, in the bed of my truck, by the light of the midnight moon. Baby, I see you.
Ashley, I got to tell you, I like this version.
I do too.
I do. It's like, I could totally hear that, like, you know, to keep life going on the song. You know, sometimes the songs start to dip a little bit. And you just
sometimes
put
they
out,
do that. Yeah, the song's kind of struggling to put out the acoustic version. Like, his songs don't struggle, so they never need that. But, it's awesome. That one has some cool flows to it, little cadences that we're proud of, kind of pushing the envelope a little bit. So,
Ashley Gourley is our guest as our songwriter series is... you know, I get to, I love doing this. I love doing these because it gives everyone a chance to, I don't know, it's
country music. Whenever you hear somebody win an award, what's one of the first things they say? First of all, I want to thank the songwriters.
Yeah.
And it's because you guys are so important to what we do and what we listen to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that's really unique to Nashville, too. We had an award ceremony called Triple Play Awards or whatever a few days ago last week. And when I got that award, or when, you know, several of us got that award, I was just talking about how I was in LA the week before working on some different stuff. And during a writing session, Luke had called me about this song going number one and about a couple other things. And they were like, oh, that's awesome that the artist would actually, you know, call you. And I said, yeah, man, well, you know, they'll have a big party and they really do it up. Press will be there. And they were like, for the songwriters, you know, I said, yeah, they come. You know, Ask Cat, BMI, they'll have a big thing, and the news channel will be there, and people will come, and they'll interview us. And I said, what do you guys do here? And they said, well, sometimes somebody sends us an email. You know?
Oh,
and
then, wow.
And so it just was really a testament to Nashville, and just I think they do a great job of celebrating the songwriter and making us feel like we're really, really a part of the record, like an intimate part of the whole thing.
Take us through some of the your big ones here. Do you know them? I have them out here.
I may not remember them all. I remember the first one was "Don't Forget to Remember Me" by Carrie Underwood, which kind of, you know, broke it wide open for me and was really, really important, you know, for us as a family and everything. And that album did so well, and she just won that show. And to have the song "After Jesus Take the Wheel" was really special for us. So I know, I know that one. I know All American Girl and Good Girl by her, too.
Better Than I Used to Be.
Yes.
Why You Want It from Jana. Easton Corbin's All Over the Road. Aw Naw from Chris Young. See You Tonight. Don't You? Brett Eldridge.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. And I thought he wrote that.
He did. He did with me.
Oh, he co-wrote it with
me. He wrote it with me and Chris DiStefano. And those others, you know, you're naming some top fives, too. But and then it's just amazing to get it all the way up to there. I've had several twos and threes and fives and heartbreaks and things like that on the way up the chart. But
so out of the 17 number ones, you have easily another 17 that got into the top 10?
At least another 10 or so. Yeah.
Wow.
Or the top 10, yeah, for sure.
How much is a I have a friend of mine who wants to know if what is a number one country song worth to a songwriter?
Oh, you mean money-wise?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it varies because
An
interesting thing is, sales too. So if you get a song that's not selling and goes number one, then, you know, the money's going to be different. But also what a lot of people don't realize is there can be tens of thousands of dollars difference in the amount of time it spends on the chart. You know, so if you have a song by an artist that's getting to number one in 12 weeks.
Or you have like the
Brett Eldridge song, like you just said, that took like 45 weeks.
Yeah,
to get up
played
there.
Forever and ever and ever. That song, and so it affects.
Yeah. So once it gets in the top 10 rotation, then for us, it's great for it to move slowly. You know what I mean? It kind of, you know, makes our heart skip a beat while we watch it on the chart as it goes up. I mean, what we take them from everybody, but it's also we love giving new artists songs or working with them and having them break those songs are worth, you know.
So is
worth a lot.
Okay. So is a top five that spends 40 something weeks. You know, right there in the middle, up in the top five area, better than a number one that goes up for 5 weeks and then drops right off?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
It is. I mean, now if it peaked at, you know, 10 or 11, then you would probably take the number one in that case. But yeah, if you could have it move slow, especially if it's moving from like 7, 6, 5, 4, 4, 4, 3, 2, 1, you know, some of those, I've had songs go from 10 to 5 to 1.
My friend just told me that you haven't really given a number yet.
Well, you know, in the $50 billion. No.
Can I make a guess?
Okay, yeah, you can make a guess.
I get it. It's weird. I'm basically asking you how much money you make. So,
but there's a lot of people who are interested.
A great slow-moving song, All In, would be about $1 million. And now that figure's gone down a little bit in the last few years with advertising and radio stuff, maybe down to more like 800 or 900, something like that. But that's All In, meaning if I have two co-writers and that we all have a publisher, then that would be split six ways, you know. Or if there's only, you know, if I write a song by myself and publish it, then that would be.
Yeah.
If you're talking about cutting up $700,000-$800,000 total between five people and everybody has a publisher, then it just went to a tenth of that.
It's the same thing with artists. A lot of people think artists are millionaires.
Yeah,
and artists, not all of them are.
Man, the touring of artists is a different thing. That's real money there. But yeah, you'd be amazed at the people that still think, man, you get that one big one. I mean, the whole time they're saying, man, you get that one big one, you can be done. You get a couple of those number ones, you can be out of there. And I'm like, yeah, if you get like 50, you know, it's just a different thing than people think. You know, you can have a number one and make 80 grand on it and pay double Social Security tax and all that and come out of there with, you know, two thirds of that, maybe half that on a big one. And so, you know, sales, all that stuff play into it, but just on airplay, which is where we make most of our money. It's great. And we thank God for it, but a lot of times it's not what,
it's almost like working. It's like working for on commission.
Yeah.
You're constantly having to
be ahead of the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, average that out to the first 8 years when you're making, you know, 15, 20 grand.
Right.
And then 1 year, if you made 200, then, you know, that'll all kind of even out. You're just trying to catch all your friends with real jobs at that point and get a house and everything. So there's a little adjustment period there. But I mean, it's great, but not what people think.
So Bubba asked earlier if you could do a medley of some of your songs. You said you've never
done
that before.
I've never done it. I'll just try to freestyle one, see what happens.
So you're going
to
do what, three songs?
All right, let me try this medley here, see what I can do. She was sitting all alone over on the tailgate, 10 legs swinging by a Georgia plate. I was looking for a boyfriend, thinking no way she ain't got one. Soon as I sat down, I was falling in love, trying to pour a little sugar in a Dixie cup, talking over the speakers in the back of that truck. She jumped up and cut me off. Girl, every now and then you get a night like this, oh, and this is one that you don't want to miss, no. Come on, baby, let me take you on a night ride. Windows down, you're sitting on my side. Tick-tock, now we're knocking on midnight. Me and you, girl, running out of moonlight. I want to hold you till the break of dawn.
hear the crickets sing a riverside love song. Yeah, baby, all we got is all night. Come on now, we're running out of moonlight. Put the moon back up in that sky. Put a cork back into that sweet red wine. Put your midnight hair back up so you can let it fall one more time. Untouch your skin, unkiss your lips and kiss them again. So good, so right, this is one night I'm wishing I could rewind.
Better stop there for me.
Dude, that was cool.
That was awesome.
Play it again from Luke, Running Out of Moonlight from Randy, and then Rascal Flatts Rewind. Just a couple of songs there that you may know.
Not a bad few months.
Nice, man. No, hey, thanks for coming. Amazing. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you guys for having us. Thanks for recognizing the riders, man. That's great.
Ashley Gorley, everyone. Got links on our site, BigDandBubba.com, to learn more about Ashley. And again, it's all there, BigDandBubba.com.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.